everyone. Welcome back to another episode of MSU Sports Zone Podcast. Today joining me is the former owner of Sparty CBB. You guys may remember him. He obviously no longer is on Instagram, but he's joining us tonight. So what's going on, man?
Yo, what's up? How's it going?
I guess the fans are hyped. Yeah, let's get right into it. Why everyone clicked on it. So what are your thoughts? You know, we'll talk about it, but what are your thoughts on the whole Michigan State season thus far?
I mean, I had high expectations coming in because, they returned, a decent amount. I mean, they lost Cassius and Tillman, but, they're returning some pieces. They added Hauser. Had some high expectations. I thought, a lot of players would break out because they were playing under, Cassius' system. So maybe if they build a system around, Rocket, Rocket could break out or something like that.
Yeah, but I think the main problem, and, everyone's talking about Cash leaving, but I've always said it's Tillman, because you can see where, these guys behind him, and I know Sissoko played great last night, but Izzo doesn't trust any of them. And sadly, the only one he does trust seems to be Kithier, and that's totally bit him in the ass this year. But, what do you think about the whole rotation this year with the bigs and everything, and not even having a legit point guard?
I think Tillman hit a lot of the issues. We had a lot of these issues last year, but Tillman was just so good that he hit a lot of them. Last year we struggled in the power forward position. We couldn't figure out who to play even at the end of the year. I'm pretty sure we just went with Malik Hall, I think, to finish out the year last year. But this year, since we don't have, Tillman was probably, a top three center in the country, I'd say, last year. We don't have that anymore, so there's not, a guy to bail out, mistakes. So, if a guy, the issue we've been having is, defensively, help side defense. There's no Tillman to bail somebody out because he's, best defender in the Big Ten. And our inside's just getting, carved up.
Another thing I've noticed too, and I haven't really seen a lot of people say it, is how bad our outside shooting has been.
Yeah.
In years past, we've always had, a Bryn Forbes, a Valentine, or I don't know who, McClay, Goins. We've always had those guys that can make shots. And Brown's been, hit or miss, but other than that, we don't have a consistent shooter. I know Henry makes some occasionally, Hauser, but there's no go-to shooter. I think that's been one of the biggest issues too.
Yeah, I saw some stat we're shooting 42% from two, and that's lower than we shot from three in 2016. So this team is not shooting good, and I'd say most of that is just because they don't have a point guard, so they don't have a leader on the floor. So when stuff goes rough, they just give it to Cassius. He'd make the right play. In the beginning of the season, I felt Henry was more more of a leader. I feel like he kind of fell off more in the leader department. Last second they would give it to him and he'd figure it out in the beginning of the year. But I feel like he's not as vocal as he used to be.
The problem too with Henry, and I was thinking about this, is, I think he's obviously our best player and he's, having much better than he did last year, but
yep.
The problem where he was kind of really efficient the freshman year is because, teams respected him, but until you go out there and prove it, kind of like Duncan Robinson with the Heat, they know we can shoot, but until you go out there and do it, I guess I don't know what the word is, but they don't respect you until you show it. That's why I think he struggled so much his sophomore year, because they had all the film on him. Mm-hmm. But like you're saying, he was really good early in the year with leading. But also I think because, he was the third best player on the team last year. Now he's the first best. But another thing I wanted to point out too, and I want to get your thoughts on this. I don't mind when Izzo's in the press conference, saying they're close and all this. But one thing I'm getting sick and tired of, and I know you've got to be too, is just the excuses. I've never seen Izzo give this many excuses. I was watching last night and he just gave a poor, piss poor excuse of subbing Kithier in for Marble, saying he was exhausted. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, at this point, what's your whole thoughts on the just the not even the rotations, but the excuses and all that stuff?
I mean, the only valid excuse he can give is like the off season, I guess, was, you know, a lot different than normal. So if they're trying to implement, I mean, they basically had to implement a new offensive and defensive system in the off season because they lost both their leaders on both sides of the ball. But yeah, other than that, like his excuse for like rotations are like really poor. Like playing like he plays like Hauser with Kithier. Those are like two really bad interior defenders. And like he's had no like valid reason for doing stuff like that. Yeah, just not giving freshmen time. Playing like Foster over Hoggard when Hoggard's like clearly has more potential. Just stuff like that that's made the team a lot worse than it is or than it should be.
My bad. You were done or no?
Yeah, I'm good.
The last point I was going to make on this and that we can get into other topics is, you know, about Hauser. Like, I know a lot of people are bitching about he's still averaging 11.5 points a game, but they're whining about his turnovers last night and kind of poor defense, I guess. But I think another thing that's really hurt Hauser, and I bet you do as well, is not – and I've said it, he doesn't have a true point guard out there. Like, I think if he would have played – I mean, we all know how we all feel about this, but had he been able to play on that team last year, I think you would have seen a much different player in Hauser with, you know, being able to play with Cassius. I think that's something no one's brought up, but I think that's what's really hurt Hauser this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best, like, coming off like ball screens and stuff. Like right now they've been playing him on like the post and I don't know, it's kind of like awkward. Like it's just he doesn't look comfortable. Like I feel like with Hoggard, however you say it, like they could run some sets to get him the ball like when he's moving like downhill or you know, I just feel like they haven't gotten him as involved as they should be. You know, they've just been getting him on the post and then bouncing the ball into him. And he's not really like a post player. Like he's like, he can do it all, but.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree and get where you're calling from. But next topic. So, you know, another subject where wasn't the greatest news. I told you a few days before it wasn't sounding promising. And what do we know? Enoch Boachi, class of 2022, pretty sure he's a 5-star, I don't know, 4-star composite. Has decommitted from Michigan State. So I want to know your thoughts on that. And then another thing, today he picked up a crystal ball to Oklahoma State. So his recruitment's all over the place. And then just gave a kind of a, you know, a good reason for decommitting, I guess, but like a weird answer to it. So what's your whole thoughts on his
decommitment and what it means? I mean, he's right to a certain degree. Like he's going to be coming in. There's a lot of upperclassmen like – he probably would have played, but the minutes are just going to be split so much next year because they're going to have we're not losing any bigs. So we're basically going to have the same issue as this year. And, you know, he probably had a lot of people in his ear just saying, like, yeah, if you go to like Oklahoma State, you know, they probably don't have a lot of production returning at, like, you know, down in the front court. So you can probably play like 30 minutes a game, maybe. Like at Michigan State, most he's probably gonna play what, 25 minutes if he was like really good.
That's a lot as a freshman, though, to be honest with you.
Like, that's if you're like Jaren Jackson level, you'll play 25 at Michigan State.
Yeah. Another thing with him, though, is why his recruitment's so weird to me is, you know, he mentioned Duke and Kentucky. I know you told me that, or someone else might have, but neither of them have offered.
That was weird.
I don't know. I just
that was weird.
The thing with and another thing that's because he came on the podcast in the summer, and you know, I obviously nice kid and all, but to me, it just seems like he's listening to so many people. Like, it's not like where it's Amani Bates, like, it's his decision. Where with Boachi, it just feels like he's just, I don't know, he's valuing other people's opinions so much to me. And I think that definitely played a role in this decision.
Yeah, I mean, when you're, like, committed to a school for so long, you have so much time to think about, like, decommitting or other options. And, yeah, I bet it was just all, like, People just telling him like, oh, this, you could play so much here, you could do this here. Michigan State's having a down year, stuff like that. Probably got to him.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously the next one, probably the biggest subject to talk about, and what everyone's wondering is what happens after the season, the off season. So I know you've told me what needs to happen, but what's your biggest, I guess, takeaway of how you're going to judge the program and Izzo moving forward when it comes to the off season? Is it going to be moving player, pushing players out? Is it going to be whether he's able to get, Bates to reclassify? What's your biggest judgment? Like, what needs to happen in your mind moving forward for Michigan State to get back to, Big Ten championship and all that level?
Well, I think it'll show like what happens during this offseason will show like what Izzo wants to accomplish before he retires. So like if we see like five transfers going into next year and he's going all in on a national championship. But if we see like zero transfers, he's just sticking with this lineup. He's just gonna ride it out, stick to like his roots, loyalty and stuff. But you can't really like force a player out because it's like Big Ten rules. The player has to like choose to leave. So he's definitely, I highly doubt. Like honestly, people are expecting like a lot of transfers. I think we'll see like maybe one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that people transfer from Michigan State.
I think it all depends on, what happens with, like if obviously I expect Henry to leave, but what happens with, I personally think you're going to see at least two transfers. I don't see any way you won't. And honestly, like I keep telling people, like there might only be one transfer, but there might be an unexpected player that leaves. Like say, I know people get like so mad when I say this, but Rocket Watts, for example, he hasn't lived up to even his own expectations. He could be a player where he's like a Jordan Poole where, he just gets so frustrated in the system. I know he hasn't voiced that, but where he thinks in his mind, the NBA is better for his game. And I know people are going to say he's going to go undrafted. That doesn't matter. You saw Duncan Robinson went undrafted. All you have to really do is make a summer league roster, and then the best, the rest is history. But yeah, my whole point, I'll let you react to it, is I think you're going to see obviously Henry leave, Langford will graduate, and then I think you're going to see an additional one or two players leave. I know that's kind of what you said, but I just feel like you're going to have four players leave this roster, four in total.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, if Amone, if he wants to reclass and come here, like if I'm him, I'm saying, yeah, I'm going to Michigan State if I'm him, because, they will probably, Rocket will probably maybe transfer just because like he doesn't really fit the system well, because like he doesn't have like the. Like in high school, he could just shoot from wherever he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted. Here, he makes a bad decision. He gets pulled for so long. Like, he probably does not like that. As for like Langford, he's had a good year. He can actually come back, which is crazy. He has another year of eligibility, but he's probably not coming back. But yeah, I mean, another name to watch for transfers could be Foster. I mean, him and Kithier might just say, yeah, we're done like with the fan base, like, using us as like their excuse for being bad. So, I could see them getting mad and, just leaving.
And I keep telling like you too, I just don't think Rocket would transfer. If he left, it would be for the NBA. And I know people like, whether it's the NBA or G League, whatever. And yeah, I mean, we could talk about Amani obviously for a minute, but my whole thing, and I was thinking about this, like obviously I want it. He's the best player in the country. But I just, and not you, but there's a lot of younger fans where they want him to be the LeBron James savior. And I'm not, in his mind, he probably thinks he can be. And I'm not doubting that. But in this day and age, it's really hard to win with just one dominant player out there. Like you remember LeBron, every year he would make the finals, it was because how weak the conference is. But now in today's day and age, the perfect example, the Big Ten, Izzo said it too. Probably the best it's been in his 37 years, he said. as a head coach and assistant. My point on that is you want Bates to come, all right, but you need to put pieces around him. And that's where I come, and I keep telling you, like, I feel like if he comes, then Izzo needs to say, look, to Kithier, Bingham, whoever it is. It needs to be, in my opinion, Lawyer, it's whatever. Because Lawyer doesn't really affect – he didn't affect that loss the other night.
Yeah.
Kithier's the one where you need to – and I think Bingham too. Like, I know he's, you know, hasn't really got the opportunity, but, I mean, to his own, like, he couldn't stay out of foul trouble last night. So, my whole thing is, I think you're going to need – I think if you want to win, you're going to have to say, you know, if you really want to win, win. Kithier, Lawyer, and Bingham need to move on. And then I would say go get a grad transfer point guard and then a grad transfer center. And then your big man would be Marble, Sissoko, and then whoever you were getting the portal. And then if Bates comes. And then right there, you got, in my opinion, you got easily a top three roster in the Big Ten, maybe in the country. What's your whole thoughts on that? I don't know. That's my whole
thought. I mean, if Amoni came, you'd have a backcourt of Amoni, Max Christie, and then maybe like Hogard or Atkins. I mean, it would be exciting. I think, you know, realistically, you're probably not going to win a national championship with such a young core. But like, yeah. Bates is just, he's going to, I'd say in college, like, everyone expects him to dominate. Players don't really dominate college unless they're like physically better than every other player. Like, Amoni is just like so skillful. He's not really like a, he's not like a Zion, like a Anthony Davis, where he's like huge. So he's not going to, like, you know, he might have some games where he's like 12 of 24 if you were to come here. Or is he going to have games where he's like 4 of 16? Like, some nights he might be off, you know?
Kind of reminds me of like Carmelo Anthony in a way where he'll just be like, fuck it. You know, I'm shooting the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, back off. But yeah, that's why I mentioned like the grad transfers would be crucial. You look at obviously our in-state rival.
Yeah.
You know, I know people are like, oh, they're not the two best players, but you know, they're making huge impacts and they're making it easier for like Franz Wagner. And I know Livers is probably their first or second, but like,
yep.
Just it makes it easier for everyone. And I think that's my whole point on Amoni. It would be great for him to come, but it all depends on, like you said earlier, does Izzo want to go out? Like, how does he want to ride this out? If he really wants to win, you're going to have to put people around him, shooters. So exactly. That's why I bring up LeBron, because it's the same way. You need to put people on the perimeter and then have a dominant presence down low if you want to win.
Yeah, I mean, we still have some pieces on this roster. I think with a good offseason, like, Malik Hall can turn into someone really, really nice. Yeah. Hauser, obviously, he's a good player. He's just having a really bad year. I mean, at the very least, you know, like, Bingham can give you 15 minutes of decent play. But, yeah, I mean, you probably need a transfer center.
You do.
Point guard, you know, Hoggard could have I think if his conditioning improves and his shooting improves, he can have a really good sophomore year. Atkins, I mean, he'll be good in the long run, but I think early on he might not be as good just because he's like kind of a smaller player. So I think, you know, he might get back down a lot on defense. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of grad transfers this year. And I'm pretty sure they get immediate eligibility in basketball.
Yeah, and they get the extra year, yep. Too, like you said, Langford, which is crucial.
Yeah, so if you're going to hit the portal, like, hit it this year, just like Tucker did, because there's going to be a lot of players out there.
Yeah, we'll talk about Tucker in a minute, but the last point I wanted to make, too, was about, like, that with like I mentioned, Langford getting another year, but where I don't think, you know, like you're saying, Langford can come back. I don't really think Langford or Henry legitimately can come back, because say Langford were to leave, Henry has to leave. I don't know if you know this, but he has to leave for us to just sign our three-player class.
Yeah.
Like, we're that over – I mean, I know Hoiberg's on it, but that's just a one-year bullshit deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was my whole point.
Yeah, Henry almost like – yeah, he's pretty much got to go. So this is last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, like I said, obviously we'll end it on Mel Tucker in football. So They finished 2-5 last year. You know, no one really expected us to be that good. It was kind of like everyone's thinking the Lions will be next year. But I think, and I've said, you know, I posted that on Instagram, like with the laughing emoji in that one post. But I think Michigan State has secretly had one of the top 5 to 10 best off seasons in all of college football. You know, me and you have talked about that. They've not added bullshit transfers like some fans may think. I mean, most of these guys are immediate plug-in guys. You know, you have Russo. We'll see what he's got. But, you know, obviously Jared Horst on the O-line. Oklahoma wanted him.
Uh-huh.
Kenneth Walker is going to be a beast at running back. Also got Joyner. The only position I'm kind of worried about, and, you know, we'll talk about football as a whole, is that they need to address as linebacker and tight end, to be honest with you.
Yep.
But yeah, we can talk about it. So what's your whole thoughts on the program moving forward? The
I think, you know, Kenneth Walker, that's a name to remember. He's the running back we picked up. I'm really high on that kid. I think he can be a three down back. Obviously Horst, I think his name is going to be Jarrett Horst.
Yeah.
He had a great year. I think it was Arkansas State or something. Yeah. I think we need another safety to go along with Xavier Henderson. I think Michael Dowell is good, but, you know, we could look out there for, because Michael Dowell doesn't really necessarily fit the system that we try to run, but I think there's some safeties out there that could fit the system better. Linebacker. Yeah. We need players. Klein is all right, but Harvey, I don't think he's quick enough to play linebacker in a 4-2-5. I like the quarterback we got. He's accurate. I'm pretty sure, from what I remember, his only knock is like he sometimes makes bad decisions and like forces throws. But yeah, I think offensive line going into next year can be like a strong point. I really like our offensive line coach. We've got some transfers. Yeah. We're returning basically like all our good offensive linemen. I think next year we can surprise some people. I mean, Tucker's still got like a long way to go. I still don't really know how good he is as a coach as like a whole, because like there wasn't really much to judge from last year. I liked his energy, though.
Mm-hmm. And I should have wrote more of the names down. I know we've added, you know, the guy the other day from Florida. I don't know if he could play safety. I think he's more corner.
Yeah.
I know we're looking at Deshaun Miller as well from West Virginia, who I did some research on earlier. He basically was a true freshman, redshirt freshman. He redshirted the year before, got hurt. But he just entered the portal. I know we're after him, but it sounds like George is really after him, and he's good, close with their coach, so we'll see what happens there. I talked to one of our 24/7, Corey Robinson, earlier this week about tight end. They seem to think they have it all figured out on the roster. You know, I don't know where they're looking. I guess they're comfortable with Tyler Hunt, but I don't know. And then linebacker, another name to look out for, obviously, is – Ben Van Summeren, the Michigan linebacker transfer, who, you know, Michigan fans will tell you he's probably garbage. But, I mean, you go look at high school, dude. You know, I told people, like, I know a friend that's close with him. You go look at his high school film, he was dominant at tight end. I think he could legitimately play tight end for us. But he was decent for Michigan at linebacker. That could fill a position of need. Because obviously, I don't even want to say his last name. I will pronounce it wrong, but he got Ma, the transfer from, flipped him from USC. So losing Simmons there. The linebacker is obviously a position of worrisome. Yeah. But like you said about offense, I don't really think we're weak on any offensive position besides tight end. That's the only position.
I mean, we got Dotson and Gillison. They're all right. I think Gillison will be better this year. I think that's another name to watch. I think he was injured last year. He's underrated. I like him coming into this year. I've pretty much seen enough from Dotson, to be honest. I think he's a good leader. He's pretty good blocker, but his hands are not, like, he cannot catch a ball for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Another thing, I don't know if I want to say look out from, but another name where you mentioned safety, and I don't know how good he's going to be, but sooner or later you're going to have to hear the name Darius
Yep.
at safety.
Yeah.
I know the knock on him is, you know, and I've people have said, you know, you go look on, you know, the websites, his 40 time is nowhere to be found, which I don't really care too much about, you know, the metrics and all that bullshit, like jumping and all that, but I don't know. I just feel like coming out of high school, you know, he wasn't the highest rated guy, but he had the most insane offer sheet. So, and I know, like, you know, I talked to Xavier Henderson and he was telling me about, you know, Michael Dowell as well, but I don't know what it is with Dowell. I'm not saying I'm not impressed, but he's just not a guy where you watch film and he jumps out. He's just more of one of those guys where, you know, just a mediocre player, I guess. No knock. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really, like, explosive. He fills the hole. He can do the job at, like, a subpar. He can do a subpar job. I mean, it was a new system. And, you know, they were trying to figure out if they wanted him to play linebacker or safety for a while, I think. So now that he's solidified as safety, he might have a good offseason.
Yeah. My bad.
But Darius Snow, yeah, that's his name. He has really good high school tape. Like, I'm not going to lie, he's got some good high school tape. And like you said, his offer sheet's good.
Yeah, it's right.
Angelo Grosse, I'm really high on him too. He started at corner at the end of the year. Yeah, I'm not too worried about safety. It would be nice if we could pick up another player.
Yeah. And like I told you with Gross, he's going to be playing nickel this year. I know you might have said he did last year, but it sounds like Kalon Gervin and I can't believe I forgot his name already, but the Florida transfer we just got. If I had to bet my money, I'd say those would be the two starting corners come training camp. Unless, obviously, like you said, we pick up another transfer or something. But as of right now, that's who I got.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. The Florida kid's got a lot of length, so I think he'll play right away.
For sure. And then, obviously, the last thing, you know, we gave our thoughts on that. But what are your thoughts is, you know, you talked about it a little bit, Mel Tucker moving forward and, you know, just the football season, you know, I guess a record prediction. You know, I really think we're going to be a lot better than everyone thinks.
I will go with 7-5 because I think we'll upset. I think we'll get another top 10 upset because a lot of people don't know Tucker upsetted teams at Colorado. He's upset teams here. They're not flukes. He knows how to beat good teams. He's just got to beat the bad teams. Like, we can't lose to Rutgers. You know, we got to start winning these games. I still am iffy on Jay Johnson. So, I guess if his play calling's better, I would have my prediction higher. I think our defense is going to be a lot better, actually, because I really like Scott Hazleton and Tucker's obviously a great coach. He coached a good defense at Georgia. He's a really good defensive back coach. So, yeah, I'll go with 7-5.
Another name I didn't even mention, you just brought up defense, was we added Drew Jordan. That was another big addition from Duke. And to that point, I just remembered how many guys we returned on the D-line, you know, that just came back for that fifth year. You know, Drew Beasley, I know they're not name jumpers, but guys with experience, Jacob Panishuk, and then
Deshaun Mallory. Is that his name?
Yes, Mallory, but there's one more I can't remember. But anyway, we added Drew Jordan. The defense, I'm more happy about the offense. Like, I know the defense, you know, I don't know, dude. We just have so many players we don't know. Like, there's some where you got Henderson, you know what he's going to give you, but with linebacker, just. It could be, like you said, Klein. Like, it could be a disaster. It could be one of our strengths. Our schedule's pretty tough. I'm not going to lie. You know, playing Miami at a conference is going to be tough with De'Aaron King coming back, although who knows? He's going to be coming off a major injury. So, we'll see there. I look at the schedule and I'm like, all right, you know, Ohio State, yeah, they're going to be really good. But then it's all a bunch of unknowns. You don't know how good – I have no idea how good Michigan's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, Penn State probably is going to be a lot better because they did the same thing as us and added some good guys in the portal. I think they're going to be probably one of the most improved teams. But other than that, there's not any team that scare me. You know, like there's no, you know, Maryland doesn't scare me. I guess Northwestern's going to be probably good. But, I mean, I think at worst 7-5. I don't know, you're going to laugh, but I think the absolute best, if everything goes our way, would be 9-3. But my, like, main prediction, I've been thinking this for a while, is 8-4, right in the middle. That's mine. And then if we lose a game, we shouldn't, which we always do. We did it with D'Antonio, probably 7-5, like you had.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I'm just going safe with 7-5 because I just haven't seen a lot from this coaching staff yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, yeah, that's really all I got. And I forgot to say it, too, but I do agree with you on Jay Johnson. He's getting paid a lot of money to do a job where not everyone could do, but, you know, there's a lot of qualified people at that position. So he's got to definitely up his product this year, to say the least. And then, obviously, Ross Ellis on special teams, that's another position where, you know, the special teams cannot be as bad as it was last year. He'll be looking for a job come – next winter, like I'm not but that's really all I got. Do you have anything to add?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we covered it. A little longer than we thought, probably, but it's whatever. But